Hey, this is well, Mike. It's not loud enough. I'll turn off the audio. Hey, Krishna, let's go. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihaguti. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihaguti. Gopi jana paravat iri varadha hote. Gopi jana paravat iri varadha hote. Sudanan kama raja janaran jango Sudanan nana praja janaran jango Unate rado sanachara Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Paravita Pacharya, all Siddhartha,
Satishi Shima, His Divine Grace of Ayachanana, the Bhaktivedanta, Goswami Mahashi, La Prabhupada Vijay, Anandakoti Vaishnav Rindigajai, Namacharya Shidahoyidas Thakur Gajai, Rem Se Gaho Shikrishna Chaitanya, Puravu Nichananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindigajai, Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopakopata Sayam Kundradakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Maturadam Kijai, Navadeepdam Kijai, Jagadathasami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Srimati Lasi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Gaura Premananda Hari Hari Bol, all glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, so today is also a special day on the Vaishnava calendar. Let's see if we have time to get to the Bhagavatam, because there's two things that occurred on this very special day. One thing is it's Vishvarupa Mahotsava, and I'll describe what that is. And also it is the commemoration of Srila Prabhupada's taking sannyas. So these two auspicious things occurred. So Vishwarupa Mahotsava, Om Agadad Timidandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshuram Miritam Yenatasmai Shigurve Namaha. So Vishwarupa Mahotsava is the celebration, the celebration of the appearance of Visvarup. Now, who is Visvarup? So Visvarup is the brother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was born before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, Sachimata had six girls who died right at birth. And then Visvarup was born after that. Of course, it's very similar to the story of Krishna being born thousands of years before, where Kamsa killed the six children, anyway. And the seventh was known as a miscarriage, but it was actually transferred to Rohini's womb, and that was Balaram. And the eighth, of course, was Krishna. So in the same way, actually, Lord Chaitanya was the eighth offspring of Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra. So what happened is Vishrupa was born, and he was quite a tall, attractive person. He's considered to be Balaram, an expansion of Balaram, who is the first spiritual master, and also an expansion of Lord Nityananda. Everybody can hear? So, Nityananda, Balaram, they are the original spiritual master. It's described, Nayamatma Bala Inena Labwa. No one can get Krishna's mercy without Balaram's mercy, which means the Guru's mercy. So, anyway, so he appeared, and his parents were very joyful to have him. And shortly after he appeared, we had Vishwambar, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or as he was called then, Nimai. Nimai appeared. And so Vishwarupa was a great devotee of the Lord. Of course, he's Balaram. And he was continually associating with the Dvaitacharya. Dvaitacharya had two houses. One was in Shantipur, which is about driving. It's about 45 minutes or an hour away from Mayapur. And he had another house in Mayapur, which is right next to Shivas Thakur's house, which is very close to the place where Lord Chaitanya appeared, which is called the Yoga Peeth. I think some of you have been to Mayapur. You've seen this, because the doctor has, and some of you others, like Jivanath and other devotees, have been to Mayapur. So they did the same road, the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati road. So anyway, so he would go over to Dvaitacharya's house, and they would be discussing Krishna Katha. And sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to go and call his brother back, because his brother would stay there all the time, and he wouldn't even take prasad. He was just so enthusiastic about hearing Krishna Katha. So when Lord Chaitanya went, and he was a little boy at that time, the Vaishnavas were so overwhelmed seeing Lord Chaitanya's beauty that they practically fainted. Who is this little boy? And he would call for his brother, "Mommy is calling you, please come back and take prasadam." So as Viswarup got older, his parents had a plan for him. Like most parents, they want to get their child married, right? There's several reasons for that. One is because they want to enjoy little grandchildren. And another reason is that they want to have someone to perform the pindar ceremony after their children die. Because you need a continuing number of relatives, descendants, if you want to stay out of hell, according to the Vaishnava or Vedic system. Because they perform this pinda, and they keep you from poot, or they keep you from hell. So that's a very nice system. Anyway, actually there was one devotee who never got married, and the Didi did the pinda for him. That's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So they were thinking, let us get Viswarupa married. And so they were discussing one night about who to pick as Viswarupa's wife. And Viswarupa, the brother of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was listening in on the wall. He had his ear to the wall and he was hearing his parents were saying, maybe we should get married to him, maybe we should get married to her. Anyway, Viswarupa got so upset because he was so attached to Lord Chaitanya, so attached to preaching Krishna consciousness, so attached to just dedicating his life to Krishna. That's what sannyas is. Actually, it's indicative that Prabhupada took sannyas in this day too. So the Viswarupa, he just left home in the middle of the night. And when the parents woke up the next morning, they were completely upset. Because their little boy or big boy, you know, was like a teenager at that time, just left home. And as a result of that, they were thinking that we don't want Nimai to do the same thing. Sachimata, the mother of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, blamed Dvaitacharya for this. She said, because Dvaitacharya has been preaching like this, you know, about Krishna consciousness, my son left home. And she even blasphemed Dvaitacharya. She said that some people think he is Advaita, but I think he is Dvaita. Which basically means, you know, Advaita means one, but Dvaita means like two-faced. Basically, you know, two. Like saying one thing to someone and saying, in other words, cheater. You know, in putting in common language, Dvaita, if you say someone is Dvaita in Bengali or Sanskrit, it means someone's a cheater. And so because of that, later on, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was awarding love of God to everybody, he said that, actually, my mother, Sachimata, cannot get love of God. And everybody was amazed, because everybody else was getting love of God, you know, pure Krishna consciousness, Krishna prema. So everyone else was amazed. Why not Sachimata? I mean, she's the mother of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain that his mother had committed an offense at the lotus feet of Advaitacharya. So, of course, when Advaitacharya heard that, you know, he said, no, this is not true. And Mother Sachi dove at the feet of Advaitacharya and begged for forgiveness, and then Lord Chaitanya said, you can now have love of God. Because that's the remedy for committing an offense, that you go to the feet of the person who you've committed offense against, touch the feet and beg for forgiveness. Of course, it has to be sincere, because as Srila Prabhupada said, that even though the person may forgive you, the dust of their feet may not forgive you. So you have to be really sincere at it. So anyway, but Sachimata, her doing this was simply a pastime to show the importance of being very careful in dealing with great personalities like Advaitacharya. So anyway, so Viswarupa was gone, and then the parents of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were thinking, we don't want him to take sannyas too and get the bad association of Advaitacharya and learn about Krishna consciousness. So basically, they wouldn't let him go to school. They kept Lord Chaitanya from going to school because they thought if he gets educated, he'll find out about the temporary nature of this world. And we don't want him to find out about the temporary nature of this world. That's actually a similar story to the Buddha story, where Lord Buddha's parents, they understood that Buddha was predicted to be a great personality and a saint. So they wanted to protect him from seeing birth, death, disease, and old age. So they kept their little son compact within the palace. And eventually Buddha got out and he saw people dying, and he said, "What's that?" And his assistant said, "That's a dead person." And Buddha asked, "Who dies?" And his assistant said, "Everyone, including you." And then he saw a sick person, and like this, and someone being born, birth, death, disease, and old age. In any case, he got that realization. So Lord Chaitanya's parents were trying to protect Nimai from getting the realization that the material world is temporary. Of course, we don't have that problem with devotees nowadays. We tell them the material world is temporary, but they still don't get it. They still, what is that called? Punak punas char vita char vananam. Right? You know what that means? That means chewing the chewed. Adanda gopir vishatamha mishram. Puna punas char vita char vananam. That's a verse from the Bhagavatam. Matirna krishne patatos vatova medo vitpadyeta graha vratanam. Adanda gopir vishatam tamishram. Puna punas char vita char vananam. In other words, if one is determined to be in Maya, it's a nice verse, even good association or instruction from others is not going to help him. So, matira na krishne. Another one, one doesn't put his mind on Krishna. Matira na krishne, but though it's what the over. It doesn't matter. He's taken a vow to enjoy his body and the things connected with the body. Ananda gopir, he has uncontrolled senses. In other words, he takes the senses and the mind is very seriously. Very serious. Oh, my mind is saying this. I must serve my guru, the mind. Ananda gopir vishatam tamishram. And he goes into ignorance, and then he simply keeps doing the same thing over and over again. In other words, punak punas charvita charvanam means to do the same thing over and think you're going to get some enjoyment over from it. Or as Albert Einstein, a great intelligent person, said, that insanity, he defined insanity as keep on doing the same thing and think you're going to get a different result. Because he was talking about science at that particular point. You do the same experiment, you think you're going to get a different result. It doesn't work like that. So the material world is something like that. It's, you think you're going to enjoy it, but you're still going to try. You've seen everybody fail since time immemorial. But me, I'll be successful. I'll be the first successful person to enjoy this material world. We all think like that. Number one. But no, we won't be. So in any case, so Lord Chaitanya's parents, getting back to the story, Lord Chaitanya's parents did not want him to learn philosophy or want to be educated. Of course, his parents, his mother was a little much in anxiety. She was thinking, you know, how is he going to make a living? And Lord Chaitanya's father said, what is it? Nitya nichanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahonam yogadadati kamam. He said, Krishna's maintaining everybody. So if he's meant to be maintained, he'll be maintained. It's a good argument. Still would have been good for Nimai to have some education. So what happened at that point, because Nimai was not allowed to go to school, he became a juvenile delinquent. You know what a juvenile delinquent is? That means he started doing things that were illegal. Like he would go into people's paddy fields and actually he and his friends would dress like a bull and then they would just destroy all the paddy in the paddy fields or destroy the banana plants. And eventually he sat on this pile of pots that were thrown away. And in those days they used clay pots. And the clay is actually a very pure substance to cook in. And you just throw it away after one use, which is nice. Nowadays you have stainless steel, right? Or aluminum, which leaches so much metal into the food. Aluminum leaches the nickel and everything. Do you know about these things? And I'm not aluminum, I'm stainless steel, and aluminum leaches the aluminum, and that's why a lot of people have these Alzheimer's diseases. You know, they find aluminum on the brain. Interesting. Anyway, it's going to scare you all from eating prasadam today. So Nimai sat on these pots that were actually thrown away, the refuse, and his mother said, "Come down." And Nimai said, "Well, basically because you're not sending me to school, I don't know what's the difference between pure and impure." And at that time, many of the relatives and neighbors of Nimai said to Jagannath Mishra, that why don't you send him to school? Every other kid you got to force to go to school, but Nimai wants to go to school, so send him to school. Like Prabhupada had to be forced to go to school. His mother had to hire someone to drag Prabhupada to school every day because Prabhupada wasn't inclined to go to school. But Lord Chaitanya was inclined to go to school. And so the neighbors' arguments won out and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back to school. And eventually, there's another story too, that after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father died, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a dream. And in this dream, he related to Sachimata. He said, "I saw my brother Vishwarup, and he was saying, 'Come with me, take sannyas.'" And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to his mother that he said in the dream that, "No, I have to take care of my mother. I cannot go." And then his brother in the dream said, "I understand, so give my obeisances to my mother." So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assured his mother at that point he wasn't going to take sannyas. However, we know he did take sannyas when he was 24 years old. And he left behind his wife, Vishnupriya, and his mother for the next 24 years of his pastimes. And Vishnupriya and his mother, Sachimata, lived or stayed on the earth a lot longer than that. And they were able to give blessings to many, many devotees who, like Srinivasacharya and others, who propagated Krishna consciousness, the second generation from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyway, one other point about Vishwarup I want to mention, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used Vishwarup as an excuse to go on his South Indian tour. He told the devotees in Jagannath Puri that I want to go to South India to find out what's happening or what happened to my brother Vishwarup. And it's described that Vishwarup left this world in South India and because he's an expansion of Lord Nityananda, he entered into Nitai, Lord Nityananda. So Lord Nityananda is none different than Vishwarup. So interesting story about Vishwarup, whose festival it is today. It's called Vishwarupa Mahotsava, Maha Utsava. Utsava means festival, as you probably know. Maha means great festival. So in India today, in Bengal, they have this big festival for Vishwarup. Okay, that's the first thing that happened today. The second thing is more recent, of course, is the taking of sannyas by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So I'm going to speak a little bit about this and make reference to the Prabhupada Lilamrita, which I have here in my hands. So, repeatedly, Srila Prabhupada had this dream. And in this dream, and Prabhupada was a householder, remember, and he had family. And also, his wife was not so favorable to his preaching Krishna consciousness. His wife used to, as we know, take his tea, take his Bhagavatams and sell them for tea biscuits. And his wife would also harass whoever Prabhupada brought over to preach to. It's described that she would blow dust in their faces with a feather duster. And Prabhupada was preaching to these nice people who'd come over. So Prabhupada was having these dreams. And in these dreams, his spiritual master, Bhakti Suranta Saraswati Thakur, would appear to him and tell him to take sannyas. And Prabhupada describes, this is Prabhupada's words, Prabhupada describes he was horrified. Now, horrified not because he was materially attached, but because he was dedicated to his duty. I mean, he had children, he had a wife, even though the wife was not so agreeable, still he had this concept of duty, which is important. I mean, that's Prabhupada showing us by this pastime that one should be attached to his duty even if he finds it unpalatable. And sometimes it's like that. Sometimes you'd like to do something else, and certainly Prabhupada certainly wanted to do something else. So, anyway, he kept having this dream. He was to take sannyasa, and of course, Srila Prabhupada identified this as the same instruction that he had received when he first met his spiritual master in Calcutta. And the spiritual master said, "You were educated, young boy, you should preach Chaitanya's message." And Prabhupada remembered that instruction, as well as Prabhupada remembering the letter that he had gotten from his spiritual master, which was about a fortnight before his spiritual master passed away. And in that letter, he was instructed again to preach in English, which meant preaching in the Western world. I mean, obviously, the only need to preach in English was to preach in the Western world, because everybody in India spoke, you know, Bengali or Hindi. So, you know, to preach widely, let's say if you say preach English, that means you have to go to the Western world. And you see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, interestingly enough, many of his writings were in English. In fact, he sent this book, Lord Chaitanya, His Life and Precepts, to McGill University and other universities around the world, but McGill University in Canada. And he sent it in the year 1896, which incidentally is the birth year of our Srila Prabhupada. And it arrived that devotees later found this book, The Life and Teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and there's an elaborate description of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and life there. So Prabhupada was thinking about this, and actually, after a while, he had actually taken vanaprastha. He wasn't living with his family anymore because he found that counterproductive, and he had made arrangements for their welfare. Another point is Prabhupada was always concerned about his previous family. Even when he left this world, he left a trust fund for his wife and children, even as a sannyasi, which is a very important point for us too. It's not that Prabhupada just irresponsibly left them, but Prabhupada had a whole plan how they would be all right in his absence. Similarly, in ISKCON today, if one wants to take sannyas and they're married, one has to show how the family will be taken care of financially and otherwise. So Srila Prabhupada was thinking that how can I take sannyas? And he was thinking, no, I'm a householder, you know, how am I going to give this up? And eventually, let's see, oh yes, he realized that sannyas was to facilitate missionary work. That Kali Yuga has certain things that are prohibited within it. And one thing is the taking of sannyas. But that is actually, or that prohibition is only there for Mayavadi sannyas, or sannyas that is just taken for the purpose of one's own aggrandizement. But the real purpose of sannyas is to be free to preach without any impediments. Just like you see, I'm taking the order of sannyas and I'm free to go everywhere. And, you know, what impediments do I have except for a material body? It's nice. I'm not encouraging any of you to leave your families. But you really have to be qualified, because you can't take sannyas and then later on go back home. That's called vatangsi, which means you eat your own vomit. In other words, you give up the material world and then you take it up again. That is a despicable, disgraceful situation. Anyway, so sannyas is meant for missionary work. Prabhupada was also reluctant because he knew that many people who were dressed as sannyasis were cheaters. And in fact, in Kali Yuga, it's predicted in the Srimad Bhagavatam that religion will be considered just a change of dress. In other words, if one puts on a particular type of outfit, then he's considered a spiritual person. Just like we see in India, you know, one has a beard and certain type of spiritual outfit and speaks in a certain way, even though they may say all nonsense, then they're considered actually advanced. Prabhupada actually said that one can determine whether or not one is spiritually advanced by the speech. And he told a story in that regard. He said, this is from the Hitopadesh, books of instructions for children. He said, once upon a time, there was a jackal, and the jackal had some purple paint spilled on him. And when all the other animals in the forest saw this jackal, they started off obeisances, because they thought, wow, here's a wonderful creature. God knows where he comes from. Maybe he comes from heaven or something. So they were offering obeisances, and even the lion, the king of the forest, put him on the throne. And they were all chanting his glories, Om Namo, whatever, Jackalaya Namaha. But they were all dancing around him. But then, when it came time for him to speak, because it was the evening, and we all know that the jackals during the evening, they have this laughing sound. Like if you go to Mayapur, you'll hear the jackal. It's quite disturbing. So the jackal started to speak like a jackal. And as soon as they heard what he said, they understood he wasn't qualified to be the king. And then they all began to recite the Prashanam prayer. You understand? Because he was Prashanam. He became the lion's Prashanam at that point. And the lion resumed his position. So then Prabhupada thought, how can I take sannyasa? I mean, let me approach the personality who had taken over the majority of the assets of the Gaudiya Math. As we've mentioned before, the Gaudiya Math sannyasis were fighting each other in court for the assets. I mean, it'd be just like if I took some of my godbrothers and had a court case against them for the assets. I mean, that would be despicable if I was to do that. Of course, one temple in ISKCON, in a certain place called Bangalore, the temple president took away the assets, and ISKCON is fighting to get back the temple's assets. But that's a different issue. But this case, the Gaudiya Math broke up mainly because of people's being greedy for the assets, and also people greedy for position, and they wanted to have like these guru zones. In other words, to be exclusive and be worshipped and everything like that in their particular ashram. And that was not Prabhupada's vision. So anyway, so Prabhupada approached Bhaktivilas Tirtha Maharaj, who was in charge of the Chaitanya Math. And the Chaitanya Math was the Calcutta Math. And he basically represented most of the other, legally represented most of the other Gaudiya Maths. Then he knew, Prabhupada knew he should take advantage of the Chaitanya Math in order to go preach in America. And Bhaktivilas Tirtha Maharaj said to Srila Prabhupada that actually you should work under the authority of the Chaitanya Math. But as far as going to the West, you know, there's no money for it. We'll see about it later on. As far as publishing books, there's no money for that either. But we'll give you a nice room that you can reside in. So remember, Prabhupada was born in 1896. So he was getting close at that particular juncture to 70 years old. I mean, he was about 62, 63 at this point. So he was getting very, very close to 70 years old. And 70 years old, you know, someone offers you a nice room with a view, then you're inclined to take it generally, isn't it? Like if someone says to me, of course, I already have a nice room with a view of Govardhan, which is pretty nice, but still I have to keep traveling around and preaching even in spite of that. So anyway, Prabhupada was offered that. His godbrother said, we have houses, there are rooms that are airy and well-lit. We'll treat you exclusively. You will not have any inconveniences. But as far as printing books, we have so many other projects there. Actually, they had also sold the printing presses of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so they couldn't have printed many books. It would have been much more expensive. So Abai, that is Prabhupada, wrote back that please reconsider this and give me sannyas. And Bhaktivilas Tirtha wrote back that don't make any quick decisions. You should take sannyas later on, but you should serve the society and work under, basically work under my authority. Do whatever I say. But Prabhupada, he wanted to work cooperatively with the Gaudiya Math, as we mentioned the other day when we were giving that presentation about Prabhupada, founder Acharya. But Prabhupada, he had his mission for his spiritual master. And so he was discouraged by Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj. Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj said, no, it's not even useful to go there because all the preaching is by radio and television. There's no personal preaching anymore, which is completely untrue. Because even though nowadays we have the internet, there's a lot of preaching that goes on personally, just like you're all sitting here. And of course I have probably about 20 people watching on the internet right now too, because we're broadcasting the class. So right now there may be about 25 people in class, another 20, that's 45, pretty good. So Prabhupada was determined, but next he turned to Keshava Maharaj, who was his godbrother, another godbrother, and Keshava Maharaj had the Gaudiya Math in Mathura. And Prabhupada had previously given the Lord Chaitanya deity for that particular Gaudiya Math. And Keshava Maharaj took the opposite tact with Prabhupada. He said, you must immediately take sannyas. So there was one godbrother who was discouraging Srila Prabhupada from taking sannyas, and another one said, you must immediately take sannyas. He said, here's his words, Bhaktivedanta Prabhu, you must do it. Without accepting the renounced order of life, no one can become a preacher. Of course, he was talking in terms of the Gaudiya Math dynamics. We have household preachers who are preaching just as dynamically as the sannyasis. Prabhupada utilized householders to open up London, to basically go everywhere in the whole world. Even when Srila Gurudev, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, went to India, he was a householder at that time. So Prabhupada was speaking, Keshava Maharaj was speaking in the context of the Gaudiya Math. Because in the context of the Gaudiya Math, basically the only preachers were sannyasis. In the context of the Gaudiya Math, the only people in the temple were brahmacharis and sannyasis. There weren't any ladies, of course. Prabhupada also instituted the system of brahmacharini in the temple. But so this is the particular context. But Keshava Maharaj said, you must take sannyas. And Prabhupada said he heard his spiritual master speak through his godbrother. That's another very important point, that we can't be just so fanatic with our spiritual master. We should understand how the spiritual master is using others to instruct us too. We can't say, I only follow my spiritual master. And actually, the spiritual masters don't want that. They want us to cooperate together, not just be guru fanatics or just focused on the guru, but focused on the entire ISKCON society and all the godbrothers, godsisters, uncles, and aunts. So Prabhupada went to the Keshavaji Gaudiya Math, and on this day, he took sannyas. Let's see, some other story about this. He entered the math, it's described, dressed in white, and he exited dressed in saffron. I mean, already he had been renounced from his household life, at least not living with his family, for 9 years. So there was no formal need for himself to declare himself a sannyasi. But it was important insofar as the vow of dedication to the mission of the spiritual master. I mean, I also experienced that when Srila Prabhupada left the planet in 1977, I decided to take sannyas immediately because I took that taking of sannyas as a vow to serve Prabhupada's mission, because Prabhupada says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, part 4, that one who serves the mission of the spiritual master after the guru leaves the planet, he is able to contact or come in contact with the supersoul. He perceives the supersoul. So that is a fact. Because the supersoul is the Chaitya Guru. Chaitya Guru means the guru in the heart. So when the guru is no longer present, if one is fixed on the vani or instructions or mission of the spiritual master, the Chaitya Guru or supersoul directly starts speaking to you. It's a fact, no question about it. Anyway, so Prabhupada in 1959, in a small room, September 17th, of course, we're taking this day in terms of the Vaishnav calendar, so sometimes September 17th, the moon day of September 17, 1959 will fall on this particular day, which is the 9th. So it is the same day. We don't follow the Gregorian or the Western calendar in Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada took sannyas before the deities of Radha and Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Keshava Maharaj's disciple, Narayan Maharaj, conducted the ceremony. Another god brother, Kinchana Krishna Das Babaji, who I met, a very wonderful devotee, was singing different bhajans during the ceremony. And incidentally, or interestingly enough, Keshava Maharaj had Srila Prabhupada speak in English, even though very few people there understood English. I mean, it would have been more appropriate, at least from a material perspective, to have Prabhupada speak in Hindi, which Prabhupada was very conversant in. But still, he spoke in English. Now, this is very much predictive of his mission. And then Prabhupada got his... Prabhupada gave the lecture at his own sannyasa initiation. Usually, when you're taking sannyasa, you don't give the lecture. The sannyasa guru gives the lecture. And incidentally, for information's sake, the sannyasa guru is a formality. It's not like your eternal guru who you take sannyas from. It's like the person who conducts the graduation ceremony at some university. He may not be your teacher. He may be just doing the official business for the university. You understand that? So sannyas guru, you know, sometimes people ask, you know, who is your sannyas guru, who you get a sannyas initiated by. But that's a formality. Of course, obviously you want to take sannyas from someone you have a good relationship with. But it's still not your eternal spiritual master. It's a formality. It can be a godbrother. Or in the case of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took sannyas from a picture of his spiritual master. Interesting, isn't it? He just put a picture there, took sannyas. So I'm not saying that any of you should do that. You have to really be liberated souls to do that. And sometimes disciples say, you know, they say, well, your picture told me something. Even when the guru is present on the planet. It's funny. I mean, they say, Gurudev, in the dream last night, you told me this. And therefore, I'm going to do this, even though it disagrees with what you're saying. Then the dream is more important than you. Anyways, so, I mean, it takes someone on the liberated platform to take sannyas from a picture. So then Prabhupada was given the name Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj, and he took sannyas with a godbrother name who would be called Muni Maharaj. And you see a picture of Srila Prabhupada right after he took sannyas, and he looks like a lion. I mean, he's holding his danda. I mean, Muni Maharaj, Prabhupada's godbrother, took sannyas. He's a very old man. He's sitting on the chair like that, or standing up actually, next to Keshava Maharaj. And he looks like very old. But Prabhupada looks like someone who's ready to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra with his danda like that. A beautiful picture of Srila Prabhupada. So Keshava Maharaj did not give any instructions to Prabhupada other than to go on preaching Krishna consciousness. So changing from white cloth to saffron cloth was a special mandate for Srila Prabhupada. It indicated it was time for him to travel to the West and preach Krishna consciousness. So this is the day of Srila Prabhupada's sannyas. You can read about it in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita chapter 9. Okay, so I don't think we have time to go on to Bhagavatam today. So any questions or comments? We have about 3 or 4 minutes left to class. Yeah. Who was? Lord Nityananda, yeah. No, he wasn't. He had never taken the sannyas order of life in a ceremony. What happened, it's very similar, of course, to Visvarup. That Lord Nityananda was living at home and his father's name was Hadai Pandit. And Hadai Pandit was so attached to Lord Nityananda that he couldn't go anywhere without Lord Nityananda. I mean, if he was separated for like 2 minutes, he would start like feeling great anxiety. So once upon a time, this is also similar to the story of Dasarath and Viswamrita Muni. But anyway, once upon a time, a sannyasi came to their house. And in those days, when a sannyasi came to your house, you said, whatever you want, Maharaj, I'll give you. Nowadays, you never say that again. I've never had anyone say that to me. you know, just ask for something, he'll give it, you know, because they're afraid what I'm going to ask for. So anyway, in those days, when a sannyasi came, you'd say, all right, Maharaj, there was etiquette in those days. Whatever you want. And the sannyasi said to Hadai Pandit that I'm traveling all alone and I need a brahmachari assistant. So give me your son. And so Hadai Pandit, like Dasarath, practically, you know, lost his mind. But eventually he gave Lord Nityananda to the sannyasi, and the sannyasi went away. And Lord Nityananda at that point, you know, traveled with the sannyasi for some time. But then there's a whole description in the Chaitanya Bhagavat how he visited all these different holy places, went all around India, and eventually went to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, he was waiting for the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to fully manifest so he could go to Navadvip. But he never took the formal order of sannyas. He was known as an avaduta. Avaduta means like the wind. I mean, someone who follows no rules or regulations. I mean, he was a devotee, obviously, following the four regular principles. But someone, he can't be predicted. For example, Lord Nityananda would sometimes, when he was, sometimes he was called Nityananda Gosai, which basically meant in that context that he was like controlling his senses, engaged in Krishna's service, not that he had formally taken the order of sannyas. But sometimes he would dress so opulently with jewelry and, you know, gems and rings and everything like that, that thieves would want to steal from him. You know, just like, it would be like if I came to give Bhagavatam class and I had earrings on, you know, jeweled earrings, like that, and you saw bangles on my hands, like the ladies, and a nose ring, and with necklaces, you know, just like a diamond necklace and a Rolex watch, what would you think? You think this guy is in Maya. So Lord Nityananda was utilizing all these things. He was dressed in such an opulent fashion. And then the dacoits saw that and they began to think that they could steal from him. And there's a whole story in the Chaitanya Bhagavat how they camped outside of Nandanacharya's house, which is where Nityananda was. And one night they fell asleep. They couldn't steal. The next night they saw these big guards. And after a few days, they came back. It started to rain, and pus came from the sky, and they became blinded, and finally they surrendered to Lord Nityananda. So Lord Nityananda did things that were not appropriate for a sannyasi. And for another example is, when he went to Srivast Thakur's house, he used to, even though he was quite old, I mean, he was an adult, older than Lord Chaitanya, he used to sit on Srivast Thakur's wife's lap and drink her breast milk. You know, remember, he's like 7 feet tall, which, you know, 3 meters high. Not 3 meters, 2 meters high. He was 2 meters high, adult, and here's this lady, and he sits on, both grown, obviously, sits on her lap and drinks her breast milk. And that's not exactly the activity of a sannyasi, to do something like that. So, he was avadut. I mean, in other words, completely above and beyond the varnashram system. That's an avadut. It's not the order of sannyas. Order of sannyas is part of the varnashram system. Lord Nityananda was not part of the varnashram system. You understand the difference? So therefore, he's God. He can do anything he wants. And sometimes we find devotees, they say that they're avaduts. They can do anything they want. But that just means they haven't taken a bath for a week. So Lord Nityananda, he has a specific position he's got. So anyway, later on he did get married. He had two wives, Vasudha and Janava, and he had two children. Virachand, a son, and he had a daughter. And his son is considered his expansion of Nityananda. He preached Krishna consciousness all over, along with his mother. Janava Mata was the main acharya after Lord Nityananda left this world. You know Janava Mata, the wife of Lord Nityananda. And she has established this beautiful temple at Radhakund. It's right where Raghunath Das Goswami's Samadhi is. Has anyone seen that temple? I'm sure some of you have, right? Vishwanath, you've been there. You know where Raghunath Das Goswami's Samadhi is?
Yes.
So the first, when you enter to the right, there's deities there. So she actually establishes, it's an interesting story about that temple, that she established a deity, and everyone thought that Radharani, the Radharani deity, was too small. So she ordered another deity of Radharani. But incidentally, that deity looked like her. So therefore, they put that deity next to Radha and Krishna, and that's considered, she's also considered Ananga Manjari, who is Krishna's cousin. Ananga Manjari, and who assisted in Radhakrishna pastimes. And so anyway, that's the temple she established at the at Radhakund. And right outside there is the bathing place. And Janavamata actually has her own personal bathing place at Radhakund, which was constructed by Raghunath Das Goswami. It's like a little hall that she can go bathing in Radhakund, and no one can see her bathing. And there's the sitting place of Janavamata. Many, many Vaishnavas sit there and chant japa in the morning. So that's Janavamata. So any other questions? Yes, Rupa Duga. Why did Krishna make him struggle so much? Well, there's two reasons. One is, why did Krishna make Arjuna struggle so much too? Because, the Pandavas struggle so much. To set an example for us, what it means to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we would think, or we do think ordinarily, that everything is very easy. We were speaking about this at initiation, that in order to be Krishna conscious, it's a struggle. Just like to achieve a degree in the university, it's not that you just go to the university and get an honorary degree. I mean, sometimes if you're a prominent politician, you know, prime minister or something like that, you can go to a university and they'll award you an honorary degree. But for most of us, we have to struggle. So the pure devotees, under the influence of the yogamaya potency of the Lord, show this importance of struggling. That's the first thing. And secondly, it's very heroic. Like Prabhupada said, without opposition, where is the chance for heroic victory? I mean, who would be interested in the pastime? It's not as interesting. Let's say the Mahabharata, for example. That, all right, the Mahabharata starts, Yudhisthira is crowned, Duryodhana surrenders, that's the end of the Mahabharata. Pretty boring Mahabharata, isn't it? You know, Duryodhana decides to become a bhakta. He starts chanting Hare Krishna, worships Krishna, and Dushasan becomes the servant of Yudhisthira. You know, very wonderful Mahabharata, but it's boring as hell. So you need some. The Lord's pastimes are arranged in such a way because also he and his devotees want to enjoy various rasas. Like there's the direct rasa, Krishna and Arjuna have the direct rasa of friendship. But Krishna and Arjuna, they spice it up with Adbhuta, they spice it up with Boya, like Arjuna experienced some Boya or fear in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, and with ghastliness, humor, you know, all these different spices are there. I mean, just like sometimes you may take a chutney, and the chutney may burn your mouth, right? I don't know, you don't make chutneys properly here. But the way Prabhupada wanted chutneys made, he said they should be so hot you can't eat it and so sweet you can't resist it. The chutneys you make here are just so bland that even a child could eat them. But that's not what Prabhupada called a chutney. Anyway, so to be attractive, to have that taste, and to have the devotees show their devotion to Krishna. I mean, that's the point, to manifest their devotion and their struggle. And there's a nectar in that, and struggling to be Krishna conscious, and struggling to serve Krishna, and struggling to preach Krishna consciousness, there's a nectar in that. Just like if one wants to, let's say, play rugby. You want to have someone who can give you a good competition, right? I mean, let's say I wanted to play rugby, and I was, you know, in the Fiji national rugby team, whatever you call it, or let's say New Zealand, the All Blacks, right? Let's say that, okay. And then they say, well, you can play the Fiji kindergarten team, you know, whatever it is, and that'd be boring. You know, someone who is a fighter, like Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is for like Kshatriya nature, fighting, conquering. It's exciting. I mean, I personally find, you know, even though there's so many challenges in my life, it's learning experiences, it's challenging, it's exciting. You know, if I came to Fiji and everyone listened to me, it would be nice. Anyway, it would be boring. So my disciples are so kind, they don't listen to me. It makes it challenging. Of course, please don't give me any more challenges. I got enough. So in other words, there's the spice, there's the pastime. It's actually enjoyable. For someone who has life, it's enjoyable to have some opposition. You understand? Because it's a challenge. How else do you develop in Krishna consciousness? And you get closer to Krishna. Krishna consciousness is dynamic. It's not that, you know, I've achieved Krishna consciousness, that's it. Now I can just watch Bollywood movies the rest of my life. Krishna consciousness means every day you get closer. Even if you become a pure devotee, you can go higher and higher. It's unlimited. So anyway, these are various reasons for the devotees struggling. I mean, look at Queen Kunti, look at the Pandavas, how they struggled. And Queen Kunti had to see her sons killed by Ashwatthama. I mean, amazing. And that's so intense. But this was actually, it's like going in the fire. It's like putting an iron rod in the fire to purify it. So that's what happens in Krishna consciousness. You really get purified. What? It's called rasa. You really get purified in many ways. Of course, you don't want to say everything is purification. I mean, sometimes I tell a funny story. When I joined the movement, they fed me spicy food for the first time. You haven't really eaten spicy food like they used to feed in ISKCON. There used to be hot peppers so much that you'd run and take a shower after when you drank the dal. That was spicy. And so when you ate that spicy food, you naturally had some digestive issues occurring. And so when you had those digestive issues occurring, you were running to the bathroom, to the toilet, devotees would always say, you're getting purified. So we really got purified those early days of the movement. They would say, well, you got to get rid of all that bad food that's been in you for the last 20 years, you know. So the spices are meant to actually cleanse your system. It was like, I mean, devotees were really sick and purified. So anyway, so that's some of the questions. So I think we have to end now and greet the deities. All glories to Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.